Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Radio.com Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
All right, it is my pleasure to bring to the Big Time Baseball podcast the president and general manager of the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos. Alex was the general manager for years, for I believe six years at least, for the Toronto Blue Jays 2009 to 2015 with Toronto. Then he moved to the Dodgers, was an executive there, and has been with the Braves the last 3 years. Got Toronto into the playoffs with some huge moves, Donaldson, Encarnacion, Batista, and is doing it again with the Braves. They're in the final eight here, and of course they've got the upstart Miami Marlins to play next, so it should be quite an exciting series coming up. Alex, welcome.
Glad to be on, guys.
All right, Alex, let's get right into it now. I'll start right now with the pitching situation. You guys pitched fantastically in round one. You couldn't have done any better. Fried and Anderson both gave up nothing. So did your bullpen, which you put together very nicely. I would say with all your pitching injuries, though, obviously, you had Soroka, your ace, went down. Hamels, who's been a World Series MVP, went down. King Felix, who was having a great spring training, opted out. So you're without at least three starters, probably more. I probably forgot some of them. As you get into these later rounds, though, you're going to have to play a five-game series, best of five in the next series, and then best of seven after that. How do you feel about your pitching depth going forward? Do you have it worked out? Who will start 3, 4, and 5? I guess I could guess Wright would start game 3. That's who was lined up in the first series, the wild card series. But do you have it lined up for game 4 and 5 and figured out? Might you come back with Fried in 5? And is that your concern?
Yeah, so look, there's no doubt. We've lost a lot of guys that we were counting on. Like you mentioned Soroka. You mentioned Cole Hamels. Mike Foltynewicz pitched really well for us the last 2 months of the year. He was our best starter last 2 months of 2019 with a 2 ERA. And had a huge game 2 start for us against the Cardinals up against Flaherty, where we won that game. And obviously game 5 was just a game that didn't work out for the entire club. So, and Sean Newcomb, we were hoping to give another opportunity to start. He did a nice job out of the bullpen in 19 and struggled at the end of 2018 out of the rotation. But there's no doubt we lost a lot of guys. So now, like you mentioned, Kyle Wright would be lined up to start game 3, game 4, and potentially a game 5. We have some ideas. We haven't determined anything. I think, like you talked about, the importance of our bullpens can't be understated. They're a huge part of what got us here. The bullpen and the offense pretty much carried the team the entire year. Now, in between, we had some good starts, but it was our rotation ERA was, you know, towards the bottom of the 30 clubs. So we have had it trending in the right direction with some of the young guys. Bryce Wilson's thrown well. Oscar Anoa's thrown well. So those guys have done a nice job, but there's no doubt for us to go deep into the playoffs, we need these young guys to continue to emerge and take a step for us.
Alex, the NLDS has been rough on you guys the last couple of years. You mentioned that series against the Cardinals. You get to the game five and it just got out of hand pretty quickly. What is it about this team this year that makes you believe this is the year you guys get over the hump?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is my third year in Atlanta as a GM. And, you know, from the minute I walked in the door, all I heard about, one, they were in the middle of a rebuild and had lost 90 games, I think 3 years in a row or 4 years in a row. And, you know, the talk when we finally got back to the playoffs in 2018 was that the organization had not won a playoff series since 2001. So obviously the playoffs have expanded this past year, but just winning a series was a big deal here. Hadn't been done in a long time. And look, I felt like 2018 against LA, the Dodgers were just a better club than we were. And they beat us, you know. And last year with the Cardinals, I liked the way we stacked up against them. Thought we had a great club. Game four for me was really the key game. We had a 2-1 series lead going into game four. Multiple times, Acuna had leadoff double, leadoff triple. With 2-3-4 coming through with Albies and Freeman and Donaldson and so on, and we could not get the run in, which most times those guys are elite players. They're all-stars. They would have gotten it done. And then we had leads in those four games, either, you know, in the eighth inning, all four games, and we just weren't able to hold those leads. So it was a combination of things, and then obviously game five, things totally fell apart for us fast. But I felt like those first four games we had a shot. Now you look at the Red Series, and that's really the summary of the playoffs. The Red Series could have gone the other way. Obviously, I'm glad we won. Team did a great job. The rotation in the bullpen was fantastic. But a few breaks here and there, the Reds could have been on top, or we certainly could have had a game three. And you look at what the Nats, what they went through. Last year, they finally won the World Series. But for years, they had great clubs, and they could never get past the first round. And I don't know that there was anything specific other than maybe it's a small series and the randomness and so on. But I did feel like 2018 probably didn't deserve to get past the first round going up against LA. 2019 and certainly 2020, we were certainly capable of being able to advance, and I'm glad we were finally able to get through, and no one can talk about having not won a playoff series in Atlanta now for a long time.
Well, yeah, good job getting over the hump there. 19 years, I didn't realize it had been quite that long, and your guys looked like they really enjoyed it, beating, if not beating Bauer, beating Bauer's team, and the Reds, who were, I think, picked by a lot of people to win as a kind of a trendy pick there. You were the higher seed, but, you know, it was not going to be an easy thing. Now, speaking of not easy, you beat the Marlins 6 out of 10 in the series this year, regular season, but they're obviously an upstart, interesting team, and they have excellent pitching, as you know, with Sixto Sanchez and Alcantara, Pablo Lopez. How do you look at this challenge going forward? I think a lot of people are going to favor you, but how do you look at it?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, I rather when we're the underdog. I can tell you the 3 years I've been here, no one's expected us to make the playoffs. We haven't been picked to make the playoffs or to win the division. Like you said, we were not picked to beat the Reds, and it seems to work out for us. So I prefer that we go under the radar. I think it's easier for everybody else. Now, with respect to Miami, like you said, 10 games, we won 6 of the 4, but those games were really close. Now, there was obviously the one big blowout game, but apart from that, they were some tight games, some one-run games that we won. And again, the series could have easily gone the other way. They're a really tough, tough club. And on top of that, in those 10 games, we didn't face Alcantara once. So they're a good club. They're a strong club. They've got tremendous team speed. They play hard. The back end of their bullpen is really starting to emerge. Those guys are doing a really nice job. And like you said, that rotation is as good as anybody has with good power arms. So I think it's going to be really close.
Alex, I want to talk a little bit about you. You took an executive job with the Dodgers prior to being with the Braves. And obviously the Dodgers have had a lot of success. What were you able to take from the things you learned in Los Angeles and bring them over to Atlanta?
That's a great, great thing to ask, because I've talked about this a little bit. You know, so 6 years as a GM in Toronto, and prior to that, I was an AGM and was a scouting coordinator, and I've been in the organization 12 years there. And know, at the end of my time in Toronto, I was given the opportunity to stay and sign a contract extension, but, you know, it was well documented. I just didn't feel like, you know, that was probably the best place for me to stay with my contract being up. And I chose not to re-sign there. And at the time I was 38 and I'm 43 now. And I just felt like it was a point in my life where I was at a point in my life where, you know, after my fifth year as a GM, I felt like I finally had my brains beat in a little bit and failed enough and didn't get the team to the playoffs, where you start learning some things, and it's probably like a player, right? Eventually you fail, you get sent down, and hopefully you make adjustments and you learn. And I felt like going into that 6 year 2015, I'd really made adjustments to start really paying more attention to trying to build a team rather than a collection of players and talent, and really focusing on how the pieces fit and the makeup and the character and everything else. And, you know, stuck with it, and we had great success, and the atmosphere in the clubhouse was great. And ever since that moment, I never deviated from that. And also really putting an emphasis on team defense as well was a really key thing for me. And, you know, when I left, you know, I was really glad and grateful that I had some opportunities to go to some other clubs. But when LA called, I felt like, where can I go that I'm going to get better and I'm going to learn? And I felt like, you know, the Dodgers with Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi, really bright, successful guys, being able to be around them day in and day out. You know, and the way the structure was set up is I basically got to share a lot of responsibility with the two of them and work closely with them quite a bit. I learned a ton. Like, I'd like to believe I brought some value as well, but, you know, from my standpoint, I thought I gained, and I've used the example of, it was like going to grad school for me, because they're so smart and they're so good. And I'd say the biggest thing that I was exposed to is just having depth, having enough players, especially to get through a season. I think in Toronto, we had a lot of stars and a lot of really good players. And, you know, on my own, I learned the value of trying to put a team together and how the pieces fit and so on. But, you know, the importance of, at the time, the rosters are 25. I probably focused on that 25-man roster when I was in Toronto. And going to LA, and I think with Andrew being in Tampa and Farhan being in Oakland, they understood the importance of that 40-man roster. That depth, guys are going to have bad years. Guys are going to get hurt. Your next line, your next group of guys, you know, they're equally as important at times to get through the year. And also the value of prep and the advance work and the amount that you could be relentless on trying to make guys better and to prepare. So those are the things that I really took away. And ultimately, when I came to Atlanta, you know, from my Toronto days, the number one thing I wanted to do was, one, improve the team defense. That was critically important. You know, we made our first big deal was to make a trade with Matt Kemp and clear spot for Acuna. And then also with our advanced process, our prep and so on. That's something with, you know, the analytics department, R&D and so on. We put a lot of dollars into that as well. And those were some key things. And the rest was just to stay out of the way. These guys, you know, the previous individuals that had been here, from John Hart to John Coppola to Frank Wren to John Schuerholz, they had done fantastic work here, getting great young players, a lot of tremendous talent. So it just needed a few tweaks and a little time, and really to just stay away and not get too involved and not start trading everybody away, and let the players finally come through and support them with better defense and maybe a little more prep and a little more resources on the R&D side.
You talk about building the full 40-man roster and what you learned from Farhan Zaidi and Andrew Friedman. One thing that seems to, for me, at least from my standpoint, stand out about you is that you're not afraid to make the bold move. Obviously, in Toronto, you brought in Donaldson, which was a trade that was well-received and ended up great. You brought in Price, which gave you a chance, I think, to really potentially, and you didn't do it there, but potentially become a World Series contender. And here in Atlanta, you had some big signings in this offseason. One worked out, one has not worked out, and that was Hamels and Ozuna, but they were big signings. Could you talk a little bit about those two signings and what went into it and how you feel? Certainly with Ozuna, things have turned out. And would you like to keep him as well, or what are you going to do there?
Sure. No, and you're right. We were pretty active early out of the gates in free agency, whether that was bringing Markakis back, Flowers back, signing Darren O'Day, signing Chris Martin, signing Will Smith, signing Cole Hamels, signing Ozuna. So we did a lot early. I felt like, I remember 2019 going into September, just we had a lot of free agents that wasn't being talked about in the media, which I liked. But we knew, well, we have a lot of work to do. Brian McCann was going to be a free agent as well. We signed Travis d'Arnaud as well, obviously. So it's another guy I forgot about. Danny Chivarria, backup shortstop. So we had a lot of pending holes coming, and it wasn't really the focus. So we just wanted to be below the radar. But we had a list, a targeted list of players we were going to go after early because we had so many needs. We don't want to be sitting there in mid-December, late December with 8 spots to fill or 9 spots to fill. So we were going to be very specific and go after those players hard. So of the guys that you talked about specifically, Cole Hamels is someone that we like. We liked a lot of those starters, whether we felt like financially they weren't going to fit for us, or maybe the commitments were too long for us, or the dollars were just getting, but it seemed like obviously the starter market last year was very strong in terms of free agency, and Hamels was willing to take a one-year deal. And the other component too for us is, like I talked about, we set a high bar on bringing the right type of guys into our clubhouse, especially with so many young players. And the other thing is, we also wanted to give an opportunity. We felt at some point Ian Anderson would show up, and we felt like guys like Sean Newcomb or Kyle Wright or some of the other young guys could continue to take a step, Bryce Wilson as well, and we didn't want to block their path at the same time. So we were very specific, and we felt Cole, what he could do every 5 days was certainly going to be important for us, but we liked what he was going to bring in the clubhouse for the young guys, because the rotation was so young with Soroka and Freed and everybody else, and we felt Cole, with what we knew of the person and the makeup, he was going to help other guys. And he actually has. Unfortunately, we didn't get him to throw a whole lot for us, but talking to Max Freed, he's felt Cole Hamels has really been a big help for him in the current year. A guy like Ozuna, clearly, Josh Donaldson was a huge part of our team, middle of the order bat, hitting cleanup for us. Once we had got the sense that we were going to lose Josh Donaldson, Ozuna's a guy that we identified at the start of free agency, and we felt could fill a middle of the order bat. We did feel that he'd be undervalued just because he didn't have the years he had had in Miami when he went to St. Louis. He had good years, not great years, but we still felt that great year was still in him. And we liked the fit from a clubhouse standpoint and so on. So we had kept in touch with Ozuna the entire time, but we were still committed to trying to work something out with Donaldson. Once that got out to a number and year that we just weren't prepared to go to, we jumped on the Ozuna deal at that point. And it's been great for both sides. He's been able to have the year he knew that he could have. We got great performance out of him, and we'd love to have him going forward.
Yeah, that was such a great signing by you guys, bringing in Ozuna, especially after losing out on Donaldson. I got to ask about your MVP candidate, Freddie Freeman. What a terrific year he's had, especially after the scary situation contracting COVID early in the season. Just talk about how much easier he makes your job having a guy like that on your roster.
Well, it's huge. It's huge. And, the one thing that – another thing, and I've learned a lot of things because I failed a lot. One thing I didn't value as much early as a GM is I didn't value that games played column. You're so caught up in the talent, and when guys are out there, what they do. And, the one thing with guys like Freddie Freeman and Nick Markakis is they post – they're durable, and it helps when you talk about having depth and 40-man roster and so on. And knowing that for the most part, those guys are going to be available for your manager every day. And they also set an expectation for the other guys on the team. And obviously, Tony, you played. There's a certain starter that day, or a guy's a little banged up, and he may just not want to play that day or take that day off. When you have guys like Freddie Freeman as your best player that are setting the tone, you have fewer guys that maybe aren't willing to grind through and fight through some things and play. And they bring a culture and a mentality. And Josh Donaldson used to talk about this all the time too. When we got him, we liked Brett Laurie a lot at the time, but he would just have a bunch of injuries and so on. And Donaldson, I remember when we got him, he talked to me about what he felt was the sixth tool, and the sixth tool was staying on the field. And again, I thought I was aware of it, but I didn't value it enough. And Freddie, beyond being a great player, which he obviously is on both sides of the ball, his durability and availability. And like you said, when he was when he came down with COVID and so on, and he had a rough go of it the first few days, I was waiting for the phone call for him to tell me, look, I'm not doing this. I can't, I'm going to opt out. And I would have completely understood. And But knowing him, when I think about it, I'm not surprised that he wanted to grind through and wanted to play. And I know that he talked about this as well. The fact that we hadn't won a series in this organization since 2001, he felt that. He felt the burden. And not that it should have been on his shoulders, but he knew it. He understood it. He's very proud of this organization. He takes being a Brave very, very seriously. He loves this organization. And when you have your best player, your most elite player, who brings all those other qualities, characteristics, it makes the manager's job easier. It makes the GM's job easier. It's hard to quantify those type of things beyond what he brings on the field.
Yeah, you know, I think I don't have this vote, so I can say I think Friedman is the MVP of the National League this year. No doubt. We'll see how that goes on. But all right, that was Alex Anthopoulos, president and general manager of the Atlanta Braves. His team is in the NLDS now versus the Marlins. It's been a pleasure to have Alex on Big Time Baseball.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.